I don't know if the Army still has this, but they used to have a an advertising slogan. You've probably seen it. It's a little bit old, so I don't know. It's an army of one. You ever remember that? I even have a one of these little bags that has that written on it. An army of one, and it's the idea is we're it's appealing to our pride and sense of individuality and self-esteem that I can be an army of one. And if you really believe that and you join the army, boy, are you in for a rude awakening, right? I mean, what happens? You join the army, you hear the call for to join the army, and you think you're going to get to choose where this army of one fights? I get to fight in my war. I get to shoot my enemy. I get to go to my training camp. I get to obey my general. No. You know that. In a way, it's a deceitful slogan. But what happens sometimes, now we don't use a slogan like that for the church or to join the church, but sometimes people get this idea. Last week we talked about Christians as being a called people, and we are. We're called by the gospel. We're called to receive rewards, eternal life, forgiveness, a hope. We have a hope of our calling, and most people latch onto that right away. They see it, and they love it, and they want it very desperately. Now, having a calling just doesn't involve a reward for the calling, but it also involves a relationship. So when we sign up, we sign up for a relationship for Jesus, with Jesus, to walk in Him and to follow His orders. Well, there goes the army of one business. We have a commander-in-chief we're signing up with, aren't we? And then, of course, we're answering a calling that has a responsibility connected to it. A calling that involves walking a narrow path. It's not like we're getting on a bus that drives us to the destination. We need to walk the narrow way that leads to eternal life, and doing that in submission to Christ. But yet, well, everything I said last week and everything I said right now, out of all of that, nothing implies that we got to do it together. And we do have to do it together. And people get the idea that you become a Christian and then you can be a Christian your own way, all individual-like, and be an army of one for the Lord. I'm in the Lord's army, army of one. No. We're part of God's family. We're part of Christ's body. We're part of God's army, wearing His armor. All of the pictures in the Bible show that when we hear the calling of the gospel and we respond to Christ, we're not only joined to Christ, but we're joined to His people. And that we belong to each other, and we have responsibilities not just to Christ, but to each other. And so, if somebody becomes a Christian and they think they can just go off and do their own thing, they're in for a rude awakening spiritually. This isn't what God has in mind. And there are two passages I'd like to look at this morning that outline this and will give us an idea what this involves. And of course, I'll develop this over a couple of weeks, different aspects of it. But let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and going to verse 6. It says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now, this is a big mouthful, and in the original, it's probably just one sentence. But He's what is he doing? He's calling us to peace with one another. He's saying, look, we are united to one another through God's Spirit. God has already given us unity in the Spirit. It says so right here, doesn't it? In verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We were baptized into Christ, we received His Spirit, and we become members of Christ's body, Christ's church, Christ's family. We all received of the same Spirit. There's one Spirit and one God who dwells in all, right? Well, this passage here proves that. And he's saying that God has given us a unity. It's already there, a spiritual unity. When we became Christians, we were united. Because we all received Christ's Spirit. We all received the Holy Spirit. We all received the same forgiveness, the same hope, the same Lord, the same baptism, the same faith. And so there was a unity that existed. I'll say in the past, putting myself back in Paul's time, he's saying, there's a unity. We all have the same baptism. We all have the same faith. We all have the same Lord. We all have the same God. We all have the same Spirit. Don't mess it up. Be diligent to preserve it. Okay? So it was there, but what do we have to do? Well, walk in a manner worthy of our calling, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Sounds like the church isn't perfect. Sounds like the church wasn't perfect back then. What was the big temptation? I'm going to stick around with these people. Yeah, I mean, you ever hear that sometimes? You ever feel that sometimes? You know, somebody steps on your toes. People will rub one another the wrong way. The best way I can describe it, one of the ways I could describe it is like, well, you're born into a family, right? You got this little baby, and as the baby grows up, what do you have to do? You have to teach the baby that it's part of its family. You have to teach the baby how to get along with his brothers and sisters. You have to teach the children that they belong to a family. They have one father, they have one mother, there's one family. Maybe when they're teenagers, they want to move to a different family. But nevertheless, they're still part of that one family, you see? And so it's the same way with the Lord's family. There is a unity. People are born into Christ. They have to understand that it isn't a Lone Ranger deal, that we're part of a family and we belong to one another. And we have to remember it on an ongoing basis, all of us, no matter how long we're in God's family, to practice these things. Hey, look, the guys that irritate me, well, the way I'm being irritated has nothing compared to do with how I offended Christ. And the forgiveness that I need to give my brothers and sisters is really small potatoes compared to the forgiveness that Christ provided me. And we need to remember that. And we need to walk in humility before one another. And not to get on our high horse and start judging one another. We need to be patient with one another. And endure the various barbs and bumps that we get. Isn't that what he's saying here? If we have to show tolerance for one another, some translations would say put up with one another. Do you know what it's like to put up with somebody, right? I mean, we have rough edges. We have, there are parts that sort of bump into each other and elbows get sharp. And we're one, you know, and what are we supposed to do? We're to learn and practice patience and kindness and love, and have that determination to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's one of our goals. That's part of our marching orders as part of following Christ. We have to recognize that we belong to one another. Understand that we belong to another and decide that we're going to help one another in our walk along that narrow pathway. We can't just drop our hands and say, well, forget this outfit. I'm not going to be with those people. It really bothers me something fierce to see people angry at the church because somebody did something. Well, somebody's always going to do something. I don't care if you belong to the garden club or the Rotary or Lions or any other organization. It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to do something to hurt your feelings. It's just going to happen. And, you know, if you're in the Army and you're in a unit, you got to get along with your buddies because they got guns too, right? I mean, you got to get along with your buddy because you're facing a common enemy and you have a common goal and you have a common commanding officer and you have a common command officer in chief. You're on the same page, and that's the way God wants it with his people. For us to walk the Jesus way, we need to understand this oneness of Christ's body and preserve it. And he's saying, God gave us this unity, and then he proves it in verses 4 through 6. There's one body, he's talking about the church here. There's one Spirit. Well, of course there's one Spirit, there's one God. Just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Look at what the first century Christians all shared. The same church, the same Spirit, the same hope, the same calling of the gospel, one Lord, Jesus, who rose from the dead, who died for us and rose from the dead, one faith, the things that they believed were all the same. Now, they were growing in faith and there was growth in faith to take place, but what was the message? Were there many different messages? Weren't all of the apostles preaching the same message of salvation? Weren't everybody who was saved on the planet at Paul's day saved the same way with the same message, with the same word of God, and they entered into Christ the same way? They shared the same baptism. They were all baptized into Christ for the same reasons, the same way, with the same meaning. They all shared all of that. And they shared the same God and Father who guarantees the whole thing. And brothers and sisters, we do too. If we are born again of water and the Spirit, if we're born again according to God's word that doesn't change and it doesn't fade, then we have fellowship with the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of the other people that God ever saved in the first century and ever saved throughout the ages, because God's word doesn't change. And we belong to the people of God's word. We belong to the people whom Jesus has saved through his blood on the cross. And that's the whole purpose. It's the whole purpose. The purpose of the restoration movement was the purpose of realizing, okay, look, the message that the apostles preach was the message that gives eternal life. We respond to that message. We respond to that Lord. We respond to that Savior. We're born again the way people were born again in the first century. And we have fellowship with Jesus, and we have fellowship with the Father. And we become part of Christ's church. It's not just a name on the building. It's a descriptive. I don't see it quite so often today, but a lot of times when we put down the word Church of Christ, we'll put down a small c. Sometimes, you know, that's grammatically incorrect, and then an editor will make it a large c. Well, it is sort of a name. It's an official name, like on documents and stuff. But our whole purpose is to be the group of called out people that belong to Christ. whether we're called brethren or whether we're called the Church of God or whether we're called the Church of the Firstborn or whether we're just people of the way or whatever descriptive the Bible uses, if we have those things in common, we're part of that one body. We're brothers and sisters, and we belong together, and God has challenged us and commanded us to work together and to work through the issues that we may have, work through the things, the difficulties we may have, and keep our eyes on our commander-in-chief, keep our eyes on our eternal goal, and not get distracted with little things. One of the things that happens, I'm not an army man, but I'm using army illustrations, so if I get off, you know, somebody here will be able to correct me, I'm sure. I'm positive it happens. I mean, if you're commanding a troop, I don't know whether you're a sergeant or a captain, you know, have a group of people, and a lot of times they'll hurry up and wait, right? And a lot of times when they're waiting, that's when the problem happens. The problem doesn't particularly happen when they're shooting bullets at the guys and they know who they're shooting at, right? The problem usually happens when they're sitting and waiting and they don't have anybody to shoot at. That's when they start fussing with each other. Isn't that the kind of thing that we do too? You know, we get distracted from our goal. We get distracted from the hope that we have. We get distracted from the path we're taking. And other things get in the way. And when other things get in the way, then we start getting in the way of each other. And then all of a sudden, you know, things get out of hand. Well, no. We need to watch out for that. What we belong to is bigger than that. We need to be looking toward one another to help one another. We need to be looking to be with one another in order that we might help one another. You know, you can say, well, we ought to come to church so that we can be edified. And that's true. But the command isn't phrased that way. We're commanded to come together that we may edify one another. Not to be edified. And there's a difference, isn't there? There's a big difference. It's not, well, I don't know. I'll see if I get something out of church this morning. And then you sit here like a consumer, right? Like you bought your ticket and you're waiting for the concert. And you see if the performer right here is doing a good job or not. No, what we're supposed to be doing is getting together to edify each other. By our songs, by our prayers, by our visiting one another afterwards, by the interaction that we have with each other. And we're not only supposed to be doing that on Sunday, but also during the week. Hebrews 3:13 talks about edify one another day by day as long as it's called today. And anybody comes up and say, well, do I really have to go three times a week? Well, I go to that passage and say, well, how often are we supposed to edify one another? How much do you really interact with the rest of God's people? It seems like if we only do it three times a week, we're missing out on at least 4 days. Actually, we're missing out on 5 days because two of those meetings are on the same day. And then usually I don't get any complaints about that, but anyway. So really, we ought to be thinking about these things and thinking in these terms. If you're thinking in terms of, well, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian all by myself, you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. Maybe if you were on a desert island and you were on a shipwreck and there was only you on the island and you wanted to remain faithful to Christ and you were praying, and well, God bless you, and I'm sure the Lord will work with you and help you, but that isn't the case here, is it? No. We need each other, and we have to know that we need each other. We need to be helping one another, and we need to know that we need to be helping one another. And we need to focus our minds on that. Another passage I'd like to read, at least part of this, And we'll get into some of these other details later, but I just want to emphasize the overall goal and the understanding that we are part of one another. That part of being called as a Christian means we're called to be part of one another as well as part of Christ. They go together. You can't have Christ without the body of Christ. You can't have the body of Christ without Christ. If you want to join the church and not have any relationship to Jesus, it's not going to work. I mean, you can treat attending meetings and worship as being part of a club, but that won't get you to heaven unless you're connected to Jesus. You can treat being connected with Jesus as being an army of one, but you're not believing and trusting and really being connected with Jesus unless you're also connected with Jesus' people. And you can't have one without the other that way either. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what was happening, and again, Paul was fighting against divisiveness that was happening in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was another one of those places that if you visited the church, you would probably say, I don't know whether I want to come back here or not. You know, do they have a Fifth Avenue church or something? Or you know, maybe even the Temple of Apollo might be nicer than this. They were arguing amongst each other all of the time about all sorts of different things. They were arguing about their favorite preacher. They were arguing about who baptized them. They were arguing about, well, in this particular context of chapter 12, they were arguing about miraculous gifts that they had. I speak in tongues. I heal people. What do you do? They were dividing over that kind of stuff too. And they needed to be reminded where the gifts came from. They needed to be reminded that they weren't an army of one or an army of six out of 100. They needed to be reminded, just like we need to be reminded, that we're all one in Christ. So here we are, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul is correcting this kind of division. He's saying, now there are variety. This is in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The fact that there were differences in the congregation were good things. Differences in gifts were good things. And there's still good things. No, you're not going to see us be speaking in tongues or raising the dead or doing healings or prophecy and that sort of thing. But we have different talents and we still have differing gifts. And some of us, we're all in different places in this world. We all have different abilities. And all of these distinctions, all of these differences are still meant for our common good. My skills are meant for your good and your skills are meant for my good. And we're all meant to be working together as Christ's body. And that's the point. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the one Spirit. Notice each time, same Spirit, one Spirit, same Spirit. Over and over again, he's emphasizing the fact that the source of the gift is the same, even though the gifts are different. What do we have to unite us? Our creation, our recreation in Christ. The gift giver is the same for all of us. The hope giver is the same for all of us. The one who gives the forgiveness is the same for all of us. So what if somebody's smarter than me? Or so what if somebody's more wise or knows more or has more money or has more talent or can shoot a basketball better or whatever it happens to be? Or could lift more sacks of cement? We have differing gifts, yes, but we all belong to the same Lord. And that's the point. And so he goes on, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. We didn't even choose our gifts. It's what God chose, right? For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. It's just like we're members of Christ's body. We're all different. We all have different functions. We all have different abilities. We all have different gifts. But we belong to the same body, and we have to understand that we belong to the same body. And we have to understand that as members of Christ's body, we have an attachment to each other as well as an attachment to the head. You know, my thumb doesn't just get an idea that it's going to act independently of the hand. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to get very far if it wants to move outside of the hand, right? We're all connected together, and we have to realize that, and we work with each other to serve Christ. And this is the whole idea. And so here he goes, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And so we have a calling as Christians. We're called to be Christians through the gospel, through obedience to the gospel. And we obey the gospel as members of Christ's church, and we're meant to be one and preserve that unity. Because there is one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope of our calling. This is what we were called to. We were not called into the Lord's army as an army of one. We were called into the Lord's army as the Lord's army. We're called to Christ, not just as an individual member of Christ, a partner of Christ, but we've been called into Christ's body as a part of Christ's body. And that's what we're about here. That's what we are. That's part of our walk. That's part of our calling as Christians. If you haven't started this walk, I invite you to do so. If you want to find out more about what's involved, please do. You don't have to just answer our invitation right here and right now, but afterwards come up and see me or see one of the elders, or most of the men here will be able to tell you, or women would be able to tell you what's going on too. But please, consider walking this way, but if you're on the path, if you have accepted Christ, but you find that you've been separating yourself from the body and start thinking in terms of an us and them kind of thing, you know, well, why don't they do something about this, that, or the other thing? When are they going to do something rather than when are we going to do something? Please, change your mind now. That's, you know, this is what he's talking about here. Change your mind. It's not an us or them thing. It's not a matter of going to the church, going to a church and saying, well, why doesn't the pastor or the priest or the leader do something? The heads of this organization, like they're the church and we're just the ones who put the money in and hear the message. No, it's us. We're together in it, folks. And let's start that mindset. And let's start acting according to that mindset. If you have the needs of the prayers of the saints, if you need to put on the Lord in baptism or have any other reason to come forward, please do so as we stand and as we sing.